Legend Network podcast is never late, nor are they early. They arrive precisely when they're meant to. Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Extended, a Middle-earth podcast from explosionnetwork.com. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Lord of the Rings Extended, a Middle-earth podcast. We're here to discuss the 6 of 8 episodes, I believe, is the total of this show. My name's Dylan Blight, and join me, Ashley Hobbit.
Hey Dylan, excited to confirm that yes, it is 8.
Thank you, Oz.
And I'm excited to be here on this episode after this, you know, series erupted this week.
Oh, very good. I'll see you, Kieran Marchant.
Look, I was getting worried that there was no sense of doom and gloom in this show, and then Mount Doom appeared, so we're all good. We're back at it.
Yeah. So pinning that for 2 seconds. This week's episode is titled The Doom, I guess. Is that, yeah. Synopsis was Adar and his army march on Osterinth. Directed by Charlotte Brandstorm, written by John D. Payne and Patrick McKay. So let's jump straight to you, Kieran. What did you think of this week's episode?
This episode was fucking awesome. This episode was so good. I was already like excited. This is some Lord of the Rings action goodness. This is some cool battles. This has got interest and intrigue. We've kind of got a more focused episode. We're not bouncing around all over the place. This is cool. Okay, we're getting more Galadriel. I'm feeling oddly sympathetic with the orcs like 3/4 of the way through this episode. And then we're like, oh, okay, this is a weird point to be kind of ending this episode on. We've still got like 2 episodes left while they're sitting and having dinner, having their feast and whatever. And then shit hits the fan. There's like one minor point that I'm slightly annoyed about, that nobody fucking opened the fucking package that entire time or felt like it was a fucking axe in there or just nothing. But no, to have not only that moment of realization that, holy fuck, this is how Mount Doom comes to be. And this is how Mordor is the shitty landscape of shittiness that we come to know in Lord of the Rings and later on in the stories. And then on top of that, it kind of struck me while watching all of the water, the water rush towards the mountain and it springing in, of just that quote that was brought up several times throughout this in terms of new life coming out of defiance of death. And I'm like, holy fucking shit, this writing is insanely good. For like, just to connect it all up to show the mirror images between orcs and elves, and that they kind of share a lot of the same philosophies. They just come at it from a very different way, and elves are very blessed in who they are and how they were kind of created, and orcs just kind of got the shit end of the stick. And it's just, yeah, they're two sides of the same coin. And yeah, no, I can't say enough good things about this episode. This episode was so great. There were so many great and interesting moments. I absolutely love this week's episode.
Ash?
Yeah, I'm in 100% agree. This is clearly the best episode so far. It is, it's been in the high point of the series. It might be, this single episode might be better than the 3 Hobbit films, I think.
Oh, know. Easily.
No, why would you say that? You've sent him off! Why would you do that? You know.
Just the, you know, the ramp up throughout the entire episode is so beautifully done. And like, every time you think they've got the upper hands, you know, they get smacked back down. And I think we saw that shot of like Galadriel with the smoke.
That was like the promo. First thing I
It was like one
like
of the
released.
First things we saw.
Yeah.
And nobody, I've seen nowhere, nobody thought of the potential context of what that shot meant.
And the like funny thing about that shot actually is that that was the first shot released. And that was the whole, oh no, it's a show starring a wham man. Look at, why is it, you know, like that was the original one that led to all that bullshit. So, yeah.
And then it's the fucking coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
<It's>
like,
she's standing there as this fucking cloud of smoke and dust is coming at her. Just really cool. I think a lot of the action was really great. The orcs look amazing in this. I think some of the orc designs are pretty impressive.
And there's like, such a wide variety and range of orcs. Like they're
yeah,
individualized,
different shapes yeah, and sizes and everything. Even just the opening sequence of him like doing them like double birds, collapsing the building on top of them. This is brilliant. I love this episode.
Yeah, this episode was really good. Since you said some positive things, I'll point out a few like just minor things that I have. Like I really liked the episode, but for the sake of just not repeating the same shit,
let me just bring it down for a second.
let me just rain on the parade, everybody, before we get ahead of ourselves.
So there was like one line that sort of annoyed me, which is when he's trying to break the like the bad sword thing. What the fuck? Whatever that, you know,
yeah, the Morgoth blade. Yeah,
the Morgoth blade. Sorry, he's trying to break that, and he does like the very typical, it's like, no weapons, we can't destroy. It's like the most like stereotypical fantasy line ever. I was like you pulled that out of a fucking
yeah.
And then the only other thing is, I for the most part, I would say I loved all of the action in this episode. But it's still got, and this isn't really a criticism, but more of a comment. Like, I thought considering this is a streaming show and everything, the action was, like, pretty good for the most part. I felt like the fight between, I can never remember the character's name, the elf. I thought that the fight between him and that one strong
the orc, big fat one that was bleeding all over him. And
like, yeah, and when he, like, stabs him in his eye, and, dude, like, that was all intense. Of that. That was intense.
So Aaron Deere.
What's his name?
Aaron Deere? Aaron Deere?
Aaron Deere? Yeah, that's
right. Or as the internet has called him, Hot Elf.
Okay, well, Hot Elf. He's like when he's fighting him and getting like hot boiling, bloody orc eye juices all over him. Like that was like sort of a highlight and stuff. Mm. But then in between that, you'd have like sort of generic fantasy stuff. Like there was like minutes of this sometimes where I'm like, oh, this is like very generic sort of action scene. And then you had that, which was a lot better. So I felt like it was highs and lows. And but for the most part, considering it is a prime series. Like a streaming series, I felt like the action was pretty good. The only problem I can see, considering we're recording this straight after watching it, I feel like the only thing that people are going to have a problem with is that as good as it is, everyone's going to compare it to the Peter Jackson films, and everyone's going to compare, I can see it now, everyone's going to go, this was their big scene, and they're going to start comparing it to all the scenes in the movies, and it's not as good as those. That's the thing. It's not as good, but it's still good.
I think it holds close to like, from some of the stuff from like say Helm's Deep, like maybe not the entire encapsulated fight, but like the more kind of I guess micro fights or micro scenes that happen within Helm's Deep, I think this holds its own against that. I don't think this isn't on the scale or size of any of the battles we saw on. In
also,
Lord of the Rings.
You know, those were two like armies. This is like a bunch of orcs and a bunch of like villagers fighting. Civilians. You know, it's not going to be of the same standard.
No, know? I can see it happening though. Like,
it's two indie wrestlers versus somebody in a professional fighting for a big championship. You know, it's a different stakes. You know,
it's Orange Cassidy versus Jericho.
That's the top tier. Yeah.
It's not really how I feel. I'm just saying, like, I can see that coming. Like, I reckon that's what's kind of happened after. But, I felt like the pacing overall, considering it was an entire episode, more or less an entire episode of about one fight, or the night of the fight, obviously. Like, it starts at night, and then by the time the episode ends, it's daytime.
It's like so 2 days.
Very short night. Short night.
Yeah.
Extremely
that
short.
That, or the orcs, like, the orcs screwed up. They should have come earlier.
Hey.
I will say,
it
does make the orcs seem dumb, because there is quite a few times where the orcs are doing stuff, and their plans are ruined by the sun coming up. And it's like,
sure. You need to like go as soon as the sun comes down.
Bit an umbrella. Like, Jeez. Just, you know, maybe don't stand around giving inspirational speeches if it's already like the middle of the night and you've got a long walk to the fort, you know? Like, maybe don't do that.
That was a cool inspirational speech.
It was an amazing speech, but yeah.
He's
like, this guy is pretty persuasive.
The orcs
carrying around like a massive tent is what I think, you know?
Maybe
they have like a massive tarp on top of them.
I don't think they matter because they travel within the forest, and that's the whole like
that's true though.
And then underground they've been traveling, so the orcs in this in general feel more like they're scarier than even the Peter Jackson films, Because the Peter Jackson films, the orcs are quite often just treated as fodder, like little goons, and for comedy quite often. And then like you have the one orc. Like in most of those films, it's like there's one orc. Whereas in this, there's several times now, be it this episode where he's fighting the elf, be it the first time we see him and have that big fight scene between the human, whatever her name is. And like there's several moments. Like they've always like made the orcs pretty scary in this show. Like and showed they can one could kill you. Not
these
let alone
motherfuckers
10.
Got me with a jump scare. When the woman opened was looking through the window. At first I was like, you're gonna get like shot, right? Like an arrow's gonna come out of nowhere and just kill you, because that's a big window to be opening randomly to see what's going on. But that orc that like ran past the screen, I like jumped at that. I was like, what the fuck? Like it was, I was like, you bastards.
And you knew something was coming.
Yes. I mean, you knew it was gonna happen, and they still got me.
The funniest thing is also, I remember last week there's a moment where he looks up they're discussing in the tower, like how they're going to fight Adar and stuff like that. And he like looks up at the tower, and I remember thinking like, yeah, okay, well, they're going to put some explosives in it or some shit like that. But the way it all plays out is a lot more, lot so cooler, cool. I think.
Like so cool. Also concerning these elves, where all their towers being held completely together by rope.
You would think that they've been, you know, they rigged it, they weakened it a little bit beforehand, but even just like the movement of him like jumping off the top of the wall, sliding down, kicking this thing off to like block the door. I was like, damn, this is some smooth choreography. This is awesome. And then like, even on top of it, just little things like, you know what's really nice? People not instantly dying to arrows. Like people getting shot by arrows and like characters
slowly bleeding to death.
Like slowly bleeding to death, and like people coming to get them to pick them up. There's so many times in fantasy genre films and TV shows, somebody gets shot by an arrow and it's like they're dead. And you're like,
it's like, oh, he took one to the knee. Let's just leave him.
It's all it takes. One to the knee, it's all it takes.
It is the weak spot. But see them kind of try and bring people through and try to help. There is a lot of blood in this episode.
It's
again to the fight between Hot Elf and the big orc dude, and he's just bleeding all over his face.
Yeah,
like, you need to stop screaming.
I was like, mate, close your mouth, mate.
Just turn,
blood.
Just turn to the side and scream.
Just turn. And like even though you knew that most likely the human was going to come and save him, or somebody was going to come and save him. That the shots of, and this is just a common thing, any shot where there's like a spike going near somebody's eye is always intense and always like just hard to watch, and you don't want to do it because eventually
Bronwyn
is her name. Also, it's especially hard because that sharp thing had already gone into an eye.
Yeah,
it already, you knew what damage you could do. You watched it. You could see the blood spurting out of it already. It's like
And like it, even for me, I think I had a fan / nerding, geeking out moment of, hot elf guy being like, "That's the commander of the first army, Galadriel," and she's like, fucking cutting through and like having a cool moment. I'm like, this is dope. This is so fucking cool.
Like Theo standing there, getting his first boner. It's like
I was waiting. I almost like even though it wouldn't have been good, like good writing, I was almost waiting for him to be like, cool.
you can tell that's what he was thinking.
Yeah, so. You can tell that's 100%. And just, yeah.
Right,
and
then, as she like leans off and dodges that spear on the side of her.
Yes. Yeah. Or just Hildebrand? No, it's not Hildebrand. Halbrand. Him just like tripping smacking that horse and tripping it. I was like, holy. And the horse just tripping, just standing back up, being like, what the fuck?
Because they cut to that shot of like him coming in front as Galadriel's like chasing. And I'm like, if you throw that fucking spear, I'm going to be so pissed off because that is not smart at all. Galadriel's like right behind. And then he trips the horse up. I was like, all right, I should have trusted you.
I was waiting for him to
be. That was one of the Numenor horses, though.
Yes, it was. So it was a badass horse. But I was waiting for him to turn on Galadriel, and not gonna lie, and I don't know if it's intentional by the writers, I'm almost semi like kind of on board with him being Sauron.
No, I'm against this. I don't think
I'm against this, but at the same time, there's this little voice in my brain that's like, okay, he has this like What's the evil guy's name? Andor?
Adar.
Adar? Adar? Adar. Yeah. I'm terrible with names in this show. Holy fuck. I'm terrible with names in general. But so, yeah. Adar.
Don't worry. Me and Ash are also talking about bloody old new characters in House of the Dragon at the moment. And that's a go yes. listen to South of King's yeah. Landing. Between trying to watch two fantasy shows with a bunch of new characters, I'm like, fucking, I'm on the struggle yeah. street.
Adar saying that he's killed Sauron.
Yes.
I think he actually believes that in Sauron, and he did kill
I think
Sauron.
He believes it too.
I think he believes it.
But we know it's Sauron not true said. As an audience. So.
Yes, as an audience, we know it's not true. This.
Or do we?
Halbrand.
No, we do. You know?
Halbrand having this.
What I'm saying is there's a bunch of Horcruxes in
it. Oh, God. Halbrand having this hate for Adar, but Adar not notice, not remembering him and not
yeah.
knowing who he is at all. Which is apparently he's somebody fairly important in terms of the long lost king of the people of the Southlands and like former followers of Morgoth. And then, yeah, there's just something to me I'm a bit like, all right, I can see how people are thinking this potentially now. I don't 100% believe it, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the direction they go in.
I think maybe they tease it. But I don't think so.
Which I think is the key of this of the series, right? Is to keep fooling people on who Sauron is. I feel like that is a key thing in whether it'll be in the next season of
Sauron's not a person; it's a people.
Yeah.
anyone try and tell me they've guessed anything in the show so far? I'd love for someone to try and tell me that. Oh yeah, I totally assumed that all those tunnels.
Somebody released a video like 6 months ago saying, okay, you know those tunnels?
Yeah.
Mount Doom,
yeah.
Like, it was, that was a moment of, oh shit, this is what this is. This is not crossed.
I don't feel like that's up for argument, do we? Like, sure, no, like, that I is assume Mount it's Doom. 100, I assume it is Mount Doom.
Right? That is Mount yeah. Doom. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this is the south.
I don't know if that's how volcanoes work, but yeah.
I think there's enough science behind it for me to take it in a fantasy series, if that makes sense.
If you dump a whole bunch of water, like cold water, into a large enough body of lava, surely that would have a adverse effect.
I'm sure in the next 24 hours we'll be getting a lot of
but that's what I'm saying.
Articles.
Like,
Neil deGrasse Tyson will put out a tweet.
Look, it's fake. Anyway, but that's the thing. Like, I know there's enough. I know there's enough theory behind that. For me to believe it's true in a fantasy series with elves. Yeah. Like, it's not complete bullshit. You know that that's, there would be some form of eruption. Whether or not it's the degree we get, I don't really care.
Look, to the degree where it salts the earth.
Yeah, I don't need it to be full science. Again, it's a fantasy show. There's some theory behind it. It's fine.
I love the classic, like, there's always the classic things of fantasy of, like, you know, when people go into dungeons and games, who is lighting all the torches inside the dungeons waiting for them to be here? Just all that kind of stuff. This for what falls into that category for me in here, and it made me chuckle while I was watching this, is who the fuck built this dam with the water
with a key
for a fucking sword and had a plan for where all the holes needed to be dug?
Well,
they've been digging the holes.
Yeah, the way to make
this work
is... I know
they've been digging the holes, but like... Who had the foresight, but the
opening the dam and having a way to open that, that's totally fine. Like, that's a thing that I can buy into. It's the fact that's
like a last resort kind of, you know,
plan. It's an emptying of the dam. It's the fact that you just got to remember that they probably never thought anyone would dig enough holes to make this water go, you know, 100 miles.
Also, Mount Doom is very far away.
Yeah.
That dam has to have been, like, that... key has to have been built with this plan in mind.
No,
because it's a Morgoth thing. It's Morgoth, like, it's which is very weird that it's inside an elven tower, but it's a Morgoth blade opens up and it's got, like, the symbol of Morgoth in the wall above it, which makes you think, okay, this is a Morgoth plan. And so somebody representing of Morgoth or Morgoth himself or Sauron,
I guess so,
has then built this plan with this in mind that they're going to dig these tunnels all the way to fucking Mount Doom,
or
to set it off.
They were just going to build a dam and flood it. A flood the city. I don't know. Like,
flood, I don't know. Yeah. Either way, whoever has come up with this plan, fucking amazing. Like, Einstein level genius brain. Like, this is
it's fucking funny because
insane.
In the scheme of, like, really ridiculous things you watch in TV shows. This is actually rather ridiculous. The fact that they empty a dam, all this water flows through holes. But I'm like, I buy it. You know, like it is like really ridiculous. Plausible. But I'm like, I buy into this. Like I 100%.
I wasn't like against this. I was like, totally makes sense. We've seen the scale of what they were digging, and like we've seen the variety of different tunnel systems and holes, and we've seen that they were digging under all of the villages and towns in this area. Yeah. Like,
but the thing is, for all 5 episodes prior to this, I've always been like, they're just digging holes to walk places because they can't go out in the daylight. 100%. That's what I was. Yeah. Never assuming that the holes were actually
they were just
for a reason.
Preparing irrigation for the.
Yeah. So what do you think it's Adar's plan? Do you think it's some Morgoth plan? Like, I assume that's what you're saying, Kieran. Like, it is a Morgoth.
Yes. I think it's a plan either made by Morgoth or Sauron or somebody that Adar is enacting on and is working towards and has been working towards, because he knew what was going to happen. He had like a whole.
Like, he lays on the ground, listens to the water. He knows what's happening.
Yes, he knows what's happening. The orcs start chanting, whatever. I couldn't quite hear what they were chanting anytime they were chanting.
I think they're just saying Udur, right?
Udur,
Which is, which is the interesting part is that, this is all part. I loved that Adar is an Uruk, which is like, oh, okay, this is the ancestry for the future Uruk-hai.
I was about to say, it's not Uruk-hai, it's Uruk.
It's just Uruk. Yeah. So this is where Uruk-hai come from down the line, and that these are twisted elves that have been tortured and messed with and
yeah, so he explains that he is one of many that were taken by Morgoth, experimented on, and became the first orcs is what happened there. And that's why he knows when he's talking to elves, he knows how to speak Elvish and all this sort of stuff. But he's also considered an orc. As a Udur, as he calls himself. The Uruk-hai that we're talking about, for people who don't know, if you've watched, it's the big fucking strong one from Fellowship. It's the ones in the games. I think most of them, there's a fuck ton in like the...
In Helm's Deep games. And stuff. The Helm's Deep army is primarily Uruk-hai.
The Uruk-hai, Sauron's army, I think by time they say...
Well, no, because it's Saruman's army is Uruk-hai.
Saruman's army, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, Sauron's army is orcs all the way.
Yeah. So that was interesting. I was sort of right, though, from when I was saying last week, way he responded to the Waldreg or whatever his name is, the human. I only remember his name because he's an Australian actor from a bunch of things. But the way, Adar responded about Sauron, I remember I was like, I don't think he likes Sauron. He doesn't. In fact, he fucking thinks he killed him. there you go. Which I think is interesting. It's better than, hey, are we going to tease out Adar or Sauron for the entire season? No. Is Adar just some goon working for Sauron? No. He's someone who's enacting, I guess, we're assuming the plan of like Sauron's boss, and all this stuff. But he was with,
it's interesting then that he entrusted the one guy who's like super Sauron super fan to do the...
Well, no, I assume I assume he thinks he's killed Sauron. He's escaped, brought a bunch of... he thinks he saved these orcs.
He's talking about the human super fan that we've been,
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well, he's never told him what he did. Every time that dude asks about Sauron, he doesn't say shit. Because the old mate Sauron's super fan, if he told him he thinks he killed him, I don't know if the human dude would like...
Well, the thing is, you can see them using all the humans as... quote unquote cannon fodder in the fights, like he didn't care about the humans. He was using them the best way he could. And this is where this is a really interesting point to take this from is the quote unquote humanity of orcs and their role in this world and how unjustly and unfairly their cards have been played to them. And it gives you, for me, it gives you a lot of sympathy. And then you juxtapose that with Galadriel going totally unhinged. And like showing that darkness within her and showing that anger and that.
That was such a cool conversation.
It was a great conversation. It's conversations like those.
The line, if you wanted to find Sauron's success, you should have looked in the mirror.
Yeah. Like Morgoth's success was the darkness that has been placed in you. Like it is kind of further distorts who's good and who's bad in this show, and distorts exactly what's happening. And then you look at, then on top of that, you've got this dam with all this water rushing out, and you kind of juxtapose that with the visions of Numenor's downfall is water and the flowing through the flood, and the flood. And it's like, okay, was that a literal vision, or was that a vision of what was about to happen with the Numenoreans in the Southlands that was going to start the chain of effects that lead to Numenor's downfall? Mm. Is that it starts with this flood of water that creates Mount Doom, and potentially, you know, we don't know exactly. Of course, there's going to be some people survive, because clearly Galadriel is going to survive, and you would expect a lot of main characters.
I watched the autoplayed. I was, because the episode ended, I was like, this music that fucking kicked in.
Dude, I was so pissed off. The music was playing and I was vibing to it, and then it, like, Prime Video did its shit where it, like, cut to a menu. I was like,
okay, no, I was just vibing. I watched the entire credits ended, and then it auto-played the next time on the Lord of the Rings thing. So, and they showed a couple second clip of her, like, standing up after the smoke clears or whatever. So, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, it really sort of just, the interesting thing is that, like, to make it, like, easy for us, like, humans to understand, like, it boils, they just boil it down to literally the orcs being like, we were created by our, like, what the god, Morgoth, whatever, or whatever the Middle Earth people consider, everyone considers God, and like, they're like, we were created by God as well, so we deserve as much as everyone else. Which, like, to put it in simplistic terms, you're like, that is like a thing that no one's ever actually brought up about the orc. So, like, it is interesting. So, but then they're like, yeah, but he's been killing a lot of people and, like, kidnapping them, and, like, you just exploded the entire mountain.
You know, you got to explode a couple of mountains to make an omelet.
Yeah, that's what they say, isn't it? That's what they say. I hear that. I've heard that before. Anything else that we haven't touched on before we wrap up for this week? No?
I'm just super excited.
Yeah, lots of, I mean, there's little things like getting a little bit more about Isildur. You know, he's conversation with Galadriel on the boat.
That was great.
That was really cool.
Even just the juxtaposition of, wait, how long ago did you start seeing the land? And she's like, I've been seeing it for like an hour. I'm just built different. And just to see the joy for hope and life that she has and she sees within of somebody like Isildur is, you know, you put that as the part of her that is the light, and then gets the darkness we see later in the episode. Galadriel is such an interestingly complex character, and
you ever seen like that where she actually seems like very hopeful, and then pretty much the entire, like, for the rest of the episode and then episodes prior to this, where you're just getting her like yelling and screaming and like just being generally angry.
She is
stuff, so.
legitimately an elven angel of death, and you know, this once again, this episode made me sit back and go, "Fuck, elves are cool." No wonder everybody plays D&D is like, I want to play an Elf Ranger, because these movies just, and like this series, especially between Legolas and Hot Elf, you see these amazing moments of Elven Ranger, like, kind of stereotypes.
Ranger-y shit.
Yeah, like, it's so fucking cool.
Arrows going everywhere. I will say I'm not a fan of him like sharing his apple with the horse.
Dude, like the fact that, the bit that got me was he bit from the same section as the horse.
Yeah.
Like, if he, like, fed the horse a bit and then, like, flipped the apple around and bit the other side and kept doing it that way, all fine for that. Fuck it. You do you, kid. But, no, he was full on biting from the same area the horse bit, and I was like, damn,
yeah, dude. That's not great.
For some reason,
my random horse thoughts this episode was, when they're having that conversation with his dad about the horse and how they, like, bond with your rider and all that sort of stuff, I'm like, this is a really deep conversation. But for some reason, I'm just, like, watching it, and my brain, you know when your brain sometimes just says shit that's completely not, like, you shouldn't be thinking, God, when you're watching a deep scene? I'm just, like, watching it going, it's funny, horse hair. Like, I was just, like, watching, you know, like, the horse, you know, horse's hair? I was, like, looking at it, just being, like,
at the mane, and, like,
yeah, it's mane. I was, like, it's kind of, like, human, like, it's kind of, like, human hair, like, because he was, like, patting it, and I was just, like, thinking, like, it does look soft, and I'm, like, then I'm thinking, like, maybe the actor's just enjoying patting the horse at the same time, you know what I mean? Like, because he was going for the hair a lot. It wasn't, like, the nose. He was just, like, this hair feels good, and I was, like, it does look soft, so. Feels
yeah. And then I want to shout out one of my other favorite lines, you know, when Halbrand has got a deer and about to stab him, and like Gladriel's like, you can't quench your thirst with seawater.
Yeah, with seawater, yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's freaking, it's just so freaking, she's freaking cool.
She is. Just so much of this episode was cool. It makes you amazed that, excited for more Rings of Power. Like, excited for more seasons beyond this season. Yeah. And, like, you know, this is a journey. And I think this is the... Maybe it's, for me personally, it's the thing with both Rings of Power and House of the Dragon is, like, seeing this as a one-season thing and look at the season, you get halfway through with both points and you're like, man, this story has so much legs and has so many seasons ahead of it. Like, it's going to be a wild ride and I'm excited for it, for both of them.
The only thing I'll say that now that we're on the sixth episode and everyone loves it so much before we wrap up is, how do you think your like overall thoughts have changed a lot since the first episode of Ash? Because you were like very like, yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, I think obviously it's been built. It's been like a kind of a slow build, like up to this point. It's like, and it shows, some shows are a slow build, and you got, you know, you can't, not everything can be like all action all the time. So I mean, it's been worth the investment, you know, to get to this point and getting invested in these characters and everything. So yeah.
Worth more than the hours you spent watching The Hobbit.
Next week's a less focused episode.
Also, this was like a 70-minute episode. Look,
they're dude, all when 70 I saw, minutes. Like, I don't think a single one's been 60.
Nah, the last ones have to have only been 60, right? Because I saw 70 and was like,
this isn't right.
Shit's about to happen. 70 minutes, let's fucking go.
I don't think I've seen one that's under 60 minutes.
Okay, Wikipedia says runtime is 65 to 72, so I mean...
Yeah, I don't. I was about to say, I don't think I've seen one under an hour. They're all long, so...
Yeah.
Right, cool.
One last thing. Yeah. One last thing.
Oh my god, so many fucking one last hell. Things.
Sorry. This is they were very pro-monarchy at the very end. Like, this king who's we've never seen dude, before and is completely rumored. Yes, let's get on board with this. You'd be getting charged. We're good.
Well, yeah, that was very much a thing. Instead of, you know, I was half expecting them to be like, where the fuck have you been? How the fucking bloody hell do you think you can waltz back in and say you're the fucking king? You've got some nerve. No, Bromo was like, sure. Your nope. problem. I'm done. I've She's been like, dealing with this shit.
I've had an arrow through the...
I've had an arrow through my... Yeah, I had to get my fucking shoulder burnt together. Crazy. All right, thank you for joining us. That's it for another episode on Lord of the Rings Extended and Middle-earth Podcast. Of course, as mentioned before, if you like other fantasy stuff, make sure you're listening to South King's Landing. That's where me and Ash talk about House of...
The Dragon.
The Dragon, bloody hell, it's podcast names. Make sure you head on over to Holocron Entries for where we're talking about Andor at the moment with our series Going Rogue. On the Marvelcast where we're talking about She-Hulk at the moment. What do you want to watch? Where we're talking about everything else that's movies and TVs that's not... having an after show currently, and that's it. We've got 2 weeks left. 1 week
should
left.
Also point no but there's 2 weeks. We should point out next week's episode will be delayed.
That's a good point. Next week's episode will be delayed, unfortunately, like everything else at explosion.com, as we head to PAX. It's a video game thing, it's not really related to this, but that's fine. So yeah, we will have next week's delay, and then shortly after we'll be talking about the finale. So there you go. Thank you all for joining us. Goodbye.